On this episode of Stranger Still, John and Nick go ghost hunting. Will they find a ghost? Will they change their views on the afterlife? Only one way to find out.
By continuing to not turn this off. And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to this episode of Stranger Steel. I turned into a robot there.
Oh, that's fine. I was going to do a ghost voice, but it's just going to be like...
That's not picking up.
Yeah.
This is the first episode that's ever come out on Halloween.
Wow.
That's very exciting for me.
It's a big ween for us.
It's a big ween. Oh, have you been holding on to that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You could have surprised me.
Yeah. Hey, do you see this?
What?
That's where I keep my cuff.
Yeah?
Where that fell off of.
Oh. Mm. What were we talking about?
I have no idea. Ghosts?
Ghosts. We are sending off our third annual October month. Did I say that right?
No.
How do you say it?
October month.
Got it. We're sending off our third October month with my favorite episode we've ever done.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. And we haven't even recorded it yet. We're recording it right now.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's my favorite episode we've ever done.
No. I'm with you.
Because we went ghost hunting, John.
Mm-hmm.
We went, like, real ghost hunting.
And we didn't really, like, get to talk about it.
No.
We had, like, a nice, quiet drive home.
Uh-huh. Well, we wanted to try to do the whole episode there. And it became very apparent that wasn't going to be possible.
No.
So we're going to walk you through our ghost hunting adventure. And I do want to say up top that we went to this place in Marion, Iowa. It's close to where we are, called the Granger House. And it's a Victorian house museum. And the house is beautiful.
Yeah.
And as we go through this, we're not making fun of anyone involved. And the people there were like the coolest people I'd ever met.
They're so sweet.
They were so nice. Yeah. And they're so respectful of the house and the history of the house. And of any afterlife that may or may not have been there. Mm-hmm. And like they took the time to answer any questions that anyone had. And a lot of these people,
spent hundreds of dollars on equipment,
right?
And freely let us use
thousands of dollars of equipment.
Yeah.
That they're like, yeah, just you can use that. Just bring it back when you're done and don't break it. And the people doing the ghost hunting are professional ghost hunters and they're volunteers. They're doing this for the house,
yeah.
The museum. So they're spending upwards of 4 hours of their day doing this for just some chumps like us. So yeah. Those people are the nicest people. However, we will be talking about the faults in ghost hunting in general, as we go along with this. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. I think we can both agree that we got our money's worth.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil it now. We didn't encounter anything.
Well, like,
there was no ghosts.
Maybe if we listen to this later.
There is one thing that happened. There is one thing that happened throughout this whole expedition. Didn't happen to us. It happened to someone else. We'll get there. We'll talk through our whole spiel. It's nothing exciting, but you should still listen because this is awesome. So we're going to be talking about the Granger House. Can you describe this lovely home to us?
The Granger House, what was it, 1870s?
It was, 1800s, somewhere
so
in there.
The mid to late 1800s.
Yeah.
There was this home with this, like, totally normal family.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest part. So you think there'd be like some tragedy happened or some murder.
Yeah.
But
well, we have like in town, we also have the Bruce Moore House, which is more famously haunted, but they don't do like haunted tours as far as I know.
Yeah.
And that place had like lions that lived there and several deaths and stuff.
I heard that the MGM lion was buried there.
It's the
rumor.
Brother of the MGM lion, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It's buried there. But anyway, to your point, it's this totally normal ass house.
Yeah.
It was owned by a middle class family that dad owned like a butcher shop or slaughterhouse,
which was terrifying for me.
For you, yeah. But like no like serial killers lived here, and as far as the director of it now knows, no one died on the plot of land that as far as he knows.
Yeah.
So
but Victorian stuff is a social
it's people are afraid of it.
It's like a recipe for ghosts.
Yeah.
Hunting. Yeah.
Can you walk us through, because we arrived, we had a weird parking situation, and we went in through like the back entrance of the house. It was kind of a small house.
Yeah.
And it was kind of falling over.
The settlement, you mean?
Yeah, the foundation was like shifted.
The interior was flawless.
Yeah.
Like every speck of gold flake
so well
wallpaper.
Kept. Yeah. So, John.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are we? We're inside the Granger house now.
Yes, we're inside. It's very spooky.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
It's kind of like Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah. It's a Victorian house.
That's so. Aesthetic. Imagine I said the word aesthetic, but imagine I put a space between each letter.
Oh, like the kids are doing these days.
That's what this house is like.
So we came in. There's a lot of people here. So we kind of went upstairs where there were not a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There was three bedrooms. All of them had very lifelike mannequins.
Yeah.
Very freaky.
They dived into the classic decorations. There's some ghosts and candy corn.
That's not true.
There
well,
is.
On the stairway up, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a rat that like jumped out in front of John and started going, yeah. It was like a fake rat, but yes. There's like three parlors, basically. I don't really know. I assume that the one we're in right now would be like the entertaining people parlor because there's a piano. There's like a living room. There's like an entryway. There's like a kitchen.
Yeah.
So far nothing spooky has happened other than the mannequins. Walked into a completely black room as a very lifelike boy sitting on a bed. It's very freaky.
Yeah, they position them to be reading a book or looking at you as you're walking in.
Or like, knitting.
Yeah, like, why are you in my room?
And they're very realistic. Mm-hmm. We'll have pictures, for sure. So we walked in through the kitchen.
It looked like you were playing Luigi's Mansion, legit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And off to the kitchen, there's some back offices. There's like a dining room off to one side. And then there's like a main living area. I don't really know what to call it. But that's where most of the people were.
If you've ever seen a movie where they do a seance, it was that room.
It was that room. Absolutely. There's like a fireplace and like a mantelpiece with all this intricate woodwork. And then off of that room, there's two rooms. There's
like the foyer in Beetlejuice. Or something.
Yeah, there's like a foyer from Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Where they have like a guest book and a cardboard stand up of the owners of the house. And we found a ghost there.
We did, yeah.
We found a Snapchat ghost.
Yep.
And then off to the other side of the living area, there's what they call the music room or the parlor or something like that. There's a piano in there, a mannequin, a couch, and like an old-style gramophone thing with like the giant saw blade records with the holes punched out of them.
I think it's gender neutral now, Nick. I don't think it's a gramophone anymore. I think it could be grandma, grandpa. It's kind of...
a grand them phone?
Grand them phone.
That doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as bad as I
that's why they got that's why they're obsolete, that's why we're on digital now.
I think there's a basement that we didn't get to see. Like, for some reason they didn't want to show anyone the basement because people were like, can we go down to the basement? They're like, no.
But then like they like kind of revealed it's messy.
Yeah,
or they just have boxes down there and stuff.
And then there's an upstairs area with three bedrooms,
although
and like a closet
we will get into this later, but I did have a tool in my hand that would pick up on the barometric pressure and give me words, and it did allude that there may be something in the basement.
Right, dead bodies. So there's a top floor. There's the first room we went into because there's a bunch of people downstairs. We decided to go upstairs. There's some people up there, but not much. And everyone's like got this. They're already playing with the equipment and stuff.
There were about 20 people there total.
Yeah, there was 20 people. Some people didn't arrive, so there was less than 20. But with the director and all that stuff, the vice president and the investigators, it was probably 26 people.
Yeah,
somewhere in there. So we went upstairs. There was only like two people up there. And the first place we go into is like a little boy's bedroom or something.
Yeah. Yeah, which you made an observation that you thought it may be the servant quarters.
Right. There's like this tiny little narrow stairway at the back of the room that goes to like a hidden area of the kitchen. Like, you can't see the stairs in the kitchen, but they're in this like closeted area. So I just assumed that that's the servant's quarters. Like, they would just go down and make like breakfast in the morning. It was set up like a little boy's room, and they warn you as you're going upstairs. Like, you walk in, they're like, hey, take a look around. And if you go upstairs, there are mannequins. Yeah. And they make it very clear. They're
and
like,
did you try
still flinch at these things.
Yeah. And they also, I didn't like the way that it was portrayed, was like, don't mind the mannequins, mm-hmm. they're perfectly fine. But I thought it was intentional. Like, what's the point of having the lights off and letting us explore?
Well, there's only lights off in one room.
Yeah.
And that was the little boy's room. And we walk in, and I know that it's there, and I see the shadow of it, and I have a flashlight, and I'm still like, my hand doesn't want to move the flashlight over to the mannequin. Because I flashed the flashlight on the mannequin, and it like looked like it was straight out of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
We walk into this room, and the first thing we see is a very lifelike mannequin of a boy sitting on a bed.
Mm-hmm. He's got suspenders on, or those breeches.
Either way, they're very
breeches.
They're in fashion. Uh-huh. He's got like a dimple. It looks like someone dropped them.
I'm waiting for it to just like turn and look at me like in the movies.
We put a video of that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, go check that out because it's like super fight or flight. I showed it to Shelby, my wife, and I think I traumatized her. Because mm-hmm. I came home and the next day I was like, the mannequins. That was the scariest part of this whole thing because we'd shine the flashlight on them and I swear, maybe I've been watching too much Twilight Zone, but I would swear like their head was just about to like turn really quickly and look at me.
Yeah.
Those are the freakiest part. Nothing can prepare you for those mannequins. They are way too lifelike.
Yeah.
It kind of got quiet, so we went back downstairs to see if things were starting, and they weren't. So we kind of explored like the music room, try to record some stuff. We didn't really get much.
Let's be transparent about how this episode works. We did this. We have that footage. You chopped it up already.
Yeah.
So you have clips prepared.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're gonna play. So.
Oh well. I have a lot of recordings from us wandering around the house. I have recordings from like the director explaining the history of the house. So the history is pretty mundane. There's not a lot to it, like I said. But the house was owned by a guy named Earl Granger and his wife Dora. They talk a lot about Earl and Dora. And then I think he said that the last owners were like Alfred and some other A name.
Who were the owners? What were their names? They were Earl and Dora Granger. They lived here for
amazing.
The 1850s until their two sons, Arthur and Alfred, were the last two.
We tried to talk to Alfred later.
Yeah.
I'll play some recordings of that.
And when we mentioned the name was Dora, Nick immediately just has a kid and went into singing.
Dora.
Yeah. And then the ghost hunter who's been there for like 10 years probably was like, she started laughing. She's like, I think that every time.
She's like, I've never heard anyone say that.
Yeah, but what? Liar.
She seemed genuine. But I got a kick out of that. So things kind of settled down. The director rounded us all up. I guess should we say his name or should we give him a fake name? I think people say his name in the clip, so we should say it now. His name is Adam.
Yeah. And he's on the website that people are definitely
going to go public.
To.
So Adam rounded us all up, started giving us the rules. We signed a waiver just saying don't be a jerk. Like, don't touch things you're not supposed to touch.
So, yeah. Adam was a really funny guy.
He had a great sense of humor.
The other part about this is if you've never done a paranormal investigation before, this is obviously a guided paranormal investigation. It's nothing like you see on TV. I do not guarantee that anything is going to happen. I can tell you that we've never had a flashlight tour where something hasn't happened, but I can't guarantee you that any experience that you may have tonight. Just so you're aware of that. It's not going to be like Ghost Adventures.
He's like, I'm the director. I'm also the lead on the paranormal stuff of the house. This is our vice president, Vicky. We've got four ghost hunters. We're going to split you into two groups. Be respectful of the house. And if, like, we can't guarantee that anything is going to happen, he said. So, sorry if nothing happens. You paid $20 to be here.
Yeah.
And if you do find something, you got to let us know so we can get our cut of it, which I think is fair.
Yeah. If it went viral, they would.
Yeah. But then at the same time, he's saying, if nothing happens, sorry. Which I think is also fine.
And it also brings us to my business opportunity.
Yeah.
That I want to buy haunted locations so that when anyone gets any ghost footage, I can reap the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole rule explanation was necessary. We were kind of standing around listening or waiting to get separated into groups. Half of the group was going to stay in the house and do their thing, and then half of them was going to go out to the carriage house where they stored carriages. It took me way too long to realize that's what they were talking about until we got out there and I saw the carriages. I was like, oh, it's not like the name of someone or anything like that. It's actual like a carriage.
Carriage does sound like an old-timey name.
Right.
Carriage,
right?
Granger.
It could be like a last name. Like, this is where their friend Bilby Carriage lived.
Oh, Bilby.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotta love Bilby Carriage. So we're standing around waiting, like all the ghost hunters are getting their gear together. They have like all of these briefcases and stuff.
Yeah.
They allow us to play.
It looks like a touring band.
It did. Like, there's like a whole corner of one room was dedicated to this gear. You picked up this thing called the Ovilus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to explain that thing?
Ovilus,
I kind of already did, but
it looks like a handheld GPS device.
It has two antenna coming out of it.
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah, it's a box with a screen, a touch screen that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
It frustrated the hell out of
me. So, yeah. So when you do get it working, you get it pulled up.
You go to this dictionary mode.
Well, that was a mode that he suggested to me. Mm-hmm. But
there's a bunch of like waveforms and stuff you can look at.
There's motion sensing mode. There's like electromagnetic pulsating reading mode.
Yeah.
But he said dictionary mode is the most fun, and that's what you're going to want to be on. And it picks up on the barometric pressure and turns them into words.
Things from the atmosphere, I think is what he said. Yeah. So like barometric pressure, static electricity, yada yada. It takes all that information and turns them into words that it narrates to you.
That's right.
Which you'll probably hear it on our recording.
It was very, very, very fun.
Very, very fun.
So I'd be walking around and it would say like, palace.
Palace.
Help, downstairs.
No, well, I thought, I listened to back to the recordings probably four times.
Yeah.
And every time it came to palace, I thought they were saying, help us. And it scared the crap out of me every single time.
Did you get any of the times that it's a robot, like monotone voice, except for,
when it says some
two words. Surprise.
And
beer.
It's like surprise and beer.
And it said beer like I think twice.
So we're kind of wandering around, you're playing with that, getting some words out of it. We were designated with a group to go out to the carriage house, and we get out there and we're with Brian and Vicky. No, that's the vice president.
Vicky was there.
Well, that was the vice president, but Brian and
Adam.
No, Brian. Oh. The woman. Man, I can't remember her name and I feel really bad.
I didn't
about
know
that.
Brian's name. So.
They said his name a lot, so that's why I know, and I've listened back to it multiple times.
Hey everyone, this is Future Nick talking to you. I just listened back to some of my recordings and found out that the female paranormal investigator that we were coupled with, her name was Pat, and I still feel very bad for forgetting her name previously. Later in the episode, we will refer to her as Carrie. I don't know where that name came from. Sorry, Pat. Please forgive me. And we get out there, and they're setting things up. They're setting up a thing called a K2. They're setting up a thing called a Melmeter. They're setting up, like, this, I don't know what it's called, like a static detector. They're setting up these two flashlights. I think those are pretty much all of the devices. They're putting bobbers everywhere.
Yeah, they were golf balls that were very easy to tip over.
Yeah, like wiffle balls with push pins in them. They would put them on mantle pieces all over the house.
They were attached to tees.
Yeah, so a ghost could knock them down. So they were doing that with bobbers out in the carriage house, and it's this old like barn. It's very well kept, but it's like just old wood, and it's got that old wood smell. It smells awesome.
Yeah,
looks awesome. There's these beautiful carriages in there, and the first thing we get in there, and this woman says, "Has anyone died in here?" And everyone started laughing.
Did anybody die in here?
Why do you ask? Let me ask you that. Is this just random?
She loves that
just
kind of
random
thing.
Question?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a ghost hunting thing. So no. Like, if somebody died in here,
no.
Not that I am
aware of.
And she asked, what's the most active, or what do you usually get out here? I think was the better question she asked.
Yeah.
What do you usually get
in here? We'll get some knocking and stuff that will generally come upstairs, come from upstairs.
I don't have
footsteps on the stairs over here. Periodically back in that back room,
some
shadows.
Red
one
right behind you. Yeah. Perfect.
In fact, I'll tell you a good story because everybody thinks this is hilarious.
This
is
hilarious.
Not really. Okay, so last year, June, we had a flashlight tour here. We were doing the investigation part in here, and we got like using our ghost box and everything. That Dora followed me out here because she thinks I'm cute or something.
And, like, she
likes you. I know. Don't tell anybody. So. I was like, whatever, everybody thinks it's funny, haha, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So then the next month, I'm out here, totally different group of people, same thing, doing a flashlight tour, and I'm standing in that doorway between the two rooms, and I thought I saw a shadow walk, and I turned the ghost box on, and he says, back off. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm in your way, you want me to move out of the doorway? I turn the ghost box back on, and he says, my wife. So, evidently, Earl upset that Dora, but it is what it is. Everybody thinks that's hilarious. I do not.
That is funny. That is funny.
Yeah, not everyone's seen Borat.
And then Brian started explaining all the gear, which I thought was awesome. They didn't do that so much in the house, and there was some other gear, or the spirit box. They didn't really explain that. They turned off the lights. And so the flashlights they had set up, I haven't explained those, or the Melmeter or the K2. The flashlights, they would turn them on just so that if you tapped them, the light would come on.
Yeah.
Okay, this is just a flashlight, but what we do is we set it so that it's barely just off.
You've probably seen them do that.
Yeah,
too.
And then you can manipulate and turn it off. So you can a lot of times, if you're here, can you turn it on? And ask them to turn it off. That's kind of use it as a communication tool.
Like the twisty flashlights. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
that's perfectly fine. You go to a gas station, buy a flashlight. That's probably the one you're going
to
get.
Yeah, you twist them to turn it on.
You twist the top part, the head of the flashlight.
So what they did was they set it to like the perfect moment where if you touch it with a hair, it'll turn on or turn off.
Like you play with it when you're a little kid.
Like every house has this for some reason. and they do that because it's at a place where a ghost can manipulate it. Is the thought process. The Melmeter picks up on proximity. There's an antenna that picks up on proximity, and if you get like within an inch of it, it starts going
This is a Melmeter. Some of you have one, you've probably seen them before. They give you an EMF number, they give you a temperature. We can record those things, so at the end of this we can take this, we can put this someplace where we can't see it. And then when we're done, we can see if anything interacted with it. This reason I'm pointing this out is because this particular one has a proximity feature on it that this antenna is giving off a magnetic field of some kind. And if something breaks that, it'll make a sound. So I don't need to see this. We'll hear it. But we'll know if something comes close to it. We can use that to ask something to come close to it. I'm going to put this at the top of these steps up here.
And then the K2, I didn't really know what that was, but I think that picks up on ghost energy.
I think the whole thing was sponsored by Star Wars, and that's one of the new ones.
Yeah, that's coming out next year.
He was in The Force Awakens. Wasn't he K2? 58?
Oh, that was Rogue One.
Yeah.
K2, yeah. And then there was the static thing that just lit up when static was near it. So a ghost could, like, charge it with static electricity, and the lights would go up all the way up.
That kind of looked like a Stegosaurus or something.
Yeah.
It was, like, a box with, like, a bunch of tubes coming out of the top that had different colors.
Yeah. So we kind of started off we had, like, 5 minutes of silence, and the flashlights were going on and off. Brian was trying to introduce himself to the ghost, but he kept being interrupted by the flashlights, and he was like, well, hang on, we'll do that in a little bit. So then they start, like, the flashlights start turning on, so then they say, okay, can you turn that off? Can you turn that off for me? And then it would turn off, and they say, okay, to make sure that was you and not just chance, can you turn it back on? And it would turn on, or it wouldn't.
Yeah.
They'd wait, like, 10 seconds for it to turn on, and then they'd be like, all right, thank you, can you turn that back off? And then it would turn off. Which my main criticism of that is,
you could do that at a stoplight.
Yeah, like, every time it turns on for 2 seconds and then goes away, like, every time. If it turned on and then stayed on for 30 minutes, and then you're like, hey, can you turn that off? And it turned off, I would find that way more convincing.
Yeah.
There's also a tap light inside the house that you could only turn on by tapping it. They had that set up on, like, a dresser.
Dresser, and there was one on the table.
Yeah, so they would say that ghosts can only turn it on by tapping, so ghosts would tap it to turn it on and off. And every time we laughed, it would turn on, which was kind of a weird coincidence, don't you think? And they'd be like, oh, the ghosts think it's funny too. But in reality, it's just the dresser is shaking that it's turning the light on.
We make so many, what I learned mostly about this is that we make so many subtle movements that we don't notice.
Right.
And there's like, there's got to be some.
Think about them after the fact.
Yeah, because it's not well thought about. It's like microphysics.
Yeah. And my evidence for that, for this happening, is that someone's stomach growled and someone was laughing so hard silently to themselves, they were like shaking in a couch with two other people on it.
Yeah.
And someone across the room felt it. They're like, are you going to be okay? And they're like, no, I'm just laughing. So one person laughing was felt by someone else across the room. Imagine a room full of people laughing. That's going to be enough vibration to turn this tap light on.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's not thought about.
So, you go in with a sense of suspended disbelief that you want it to happen. And then there becomes a point where you're waiting so long for something to happen that you start to want it to happen yourself.
Yeah, you manifest it.
Yeah.
I think it's how you put it before. And that's the best way to put it. So the flashlights are going on and off. Brian starts introducing us and himself and all the gear. He says, I came out here and I kind of told you guys what's going to happen. Brought some friends with me. I know it's hard to communicate with you guys. We've got all these devices here to help. Like if you go near the one at the top of the stairs, it'll go off. You can also turn the lights on these two devices, blah, blah, blah. You can play with the flashlights.
So Brian spoke with the ghost a little and his significant other, I suppose.
Yeah, partner.
His partner with him.
Partner of some sort of...
Partner in ghost crime.
Influence, yeah.
Ghost justice. She had mentioned, we have been doing this for a while. We're going to get everything done. We have all this equipment and everything. Mm-hmm. And Brian happens to be psychic. So if you have any questions...
Well, it was a little bit more... I didn't catch it the first time she... Or the second time.
It was very nonchalant.
Because there was a long part where... So Brian asked for knocks. He's like, we can get this all done and over with now if you just make a loud bang or you knock on the wall or something like that. And then he started asking questions. And then we'd leave like 10 seconds of space for the recorders to pick up an answer from the ghosts.
Can you give me your name? Can you tell me what year it is? Can you tell me how many horses you usually keep in the stable?
And at the end, the female instructor, gosh, I wish I knew her name. I want to say like Carrie, but I don't think that's it. It might have been Carrie. Let's say Carrie. Yeah. Her name's Carrie.
Hey, just a reminder for respect out of the gracious people that led us through this investigation. A reminder, her name is Pat. Past me is an idiot. I'm very sorry about that.
So she says, this is kind of boring and I'm sorry about that, but the reason we do this is so a lot of times things don't happen while you're here, but then you go home and you find the EVPs on the recorder. So we leave that extra space. And also Brian's a psychic, so he might be able to pick up on the responses.
Right.
Is how she phrased it.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't pick it up. I didn't hear that he was a psychic the first time. So he's trying to commune with these ghosts.
I did.
I know, you turned to me and said, cool.
Into the mic.
Yeah. And then we did that for a little bit. And then he pulled out, I couldn't pick up what he was calling. It was like a squawk box or something. But I've always known it as a spirit box. It might also be known as a ghost box. What it is it's this box device.
Did he say a scrape box? Because maybe. It was scraping different channels of...
Maybe.
Okay.
My brain thought squawk box because it's just like squawking answers at you, right? Uh-huh. I don't know.
I thought it was scraping through different channels.
Yeah. So what this does is it's this, you set it to different frequencies. I don't know what the importance of that is, but you turn it on and it rapidly scans through the radio and you hear like little pieces of this station and then this station.
I think what he was talking about was a frequency range that he changed.
Yeah,
and you could change from AM to FM.
Yeah.
No. Frequency ranges within FM and frequency ranges within AM.
Oh, okay.
So he would go through lower AM stations and then mid and then high AM stations.
Yeah. So he would play around with that. Yeah. And the idea is that the ghost will use the static to talk. So it'll like words will come through. Or the radio station will line up in such a way that it forms like a cohesive thought.
You're gonna have to get kind of close and shout. Can you tell me your name?
Did they say what's your name?
The spirit box has never worked for me, even when I was like a believer in all of this paranormal investigation stuff 10 years ago. It's very ineffective.
I think it's okay. We're skeptical.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I think it's the perfect anecdote of what ghost hunting is.
Yeah.
Because you're setting up potentials and looking for answers.
Yeah.
So with so many different talk radio stations, there's a chance that you'll get like 0.5 seconds of each station and it'll sound like a word.
Right.
And as soon as they're done, they would say, I think I heard yes. Did you hear yes? Yes, I heard yes too.
Yeah. So it's just like people feeding off of each other is a big part of it too. Because mm-hmm. we started going down this weird path. First, Adam asked the ghost what their favorite curse word was, and then your device came up with the word screw.
Screw.
So yeah. So then Brian's like, "Can you say screw?" And nothing came through.
Can we just talk about how polite he brought that up? And he's like, "Well, I suppose in the right context."
In the right context, yeah. He's like totally chill about
he's
it.
So
like,
cool.
Not even phased. Like that's a curse word that children like you and I would use to be yeah. funny. But then we got on this weird path of a goat. For some reason, we got down this line of thinking that they had a goat, and eventually we got the name Doug out of it. So they're like, "What was your goat's name?" And they heard a couple different names, and then they heard Doug, and they're like, "Sorry, one more time, can you say your goat's name?" And then they heard Doug again.
Alfred, what's the name of your goat?
Doug
the goat.
I would name a goat that.
What? This is the only time you get to say stuff like this.
I never heard anything out of any of these. My favorite piece of gear was the SLS camera. They had this whole time they had this, it was a Xbox Kinect connected to a Dell, like, tablet, a PC tablet. And what it would do is the Kinect, if you don't know, sends out thousands of little infrared dots, and then it has a camera that picks up those infrared dots, and it tracks it to find your body shape and translates that into body motion. In your video game, what they do is they send out the thousands of little dots. They use the camera to pick those back up, and they use that to look for the body shapes of imperceptible people. Yeah. So they have like this little
anomalies.
Yeah, they
and on the screen it will say anomaly detected, and sometimes it'll manifest into a wireframe.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a full body, it'll say anomaly, and then if they find what they believe is a full body, then this little like wireframe skeleton, not like a skeleton, but like a stick man will show up on the screen, like yeah. start dancing around. So they had that out there too. That was pretty cool. They were like going around the whole.
I'm sure you could carriage. Probably get an app version that's similar
idea. You have to have infrared.
Because this thing was how much money, Nicholas?
I'm gonna play a game with that later.
Okay.
I'm gonna make you guess how much it was. I have a lot of gear you're going to guess the price of. This I forgot to tell you that. We got a game at the end of this thing.
And I appreciate you having the little detail as to how all this stuff worked, because mm-hmm. if this is anything but a science podcast, it's cool to know that these tools
yeah, and
exist and they're functional.
While nothing... So that's pretty much the adventure of the carriage house, and nothing happened. None of the bobbers fell over except for when I knocked one over and scared the bejesus out of a lady.
Yeah.
And... Some of the lights lit up, the flashlights went on and off, the static detector went off, the K2 went off, but no, like, knocks.
No one died.
No one died.
But they did, that's what we took from it. That's not what they took from it.
But my point of that was, I forgot where I was going, but it's this whole thing was about the journey, not the destination.
Sure.
And we learned a lot from this.
Yeah.
We took a break at this point.
Well, we went back after they had thought that they were speaking with a young boy
mm-hmm.
who lived at the house, mm-hmm. the mannequin
Alfred.
That we saw. So they said Alfred was playing in the
with a goat
with
named
a goat
Alfred or no named Doug
in the carriage house.
Yeah, so
at 11 p.m. at night.
We took a break and we go inside and Adam's like, "Dude, you gotta check this out."
So everybody that was out in the carriage house with us that didn't look at the picture that I took. So you notice at the end of that we were talking about a goat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just happened to be walking by. There's some pictures of horses and stuff on one of the yeah. things. And I was walking by it, and I was like, "What the heck is that? Seriously?"
Hmm?
I've never noticed
a goat. There's a goat in there.
We yeah. did not it's, see it.
And he's telling yeah. one of the boys.
Yeah, Adam found it.
I was like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Is that really a goat?"
Sure.
Let's
go.
It's a white goat. Yeah. Of all, I mean.
It's got a little name tag. It says Doug, right?
Hello, my name
zoom
is...
Zoom in a little bit. Yep, that says Doug, right?
And
two G's.
And that, for him, was confirmation that we had hit big.
Right.
But in the carriage house, there's a lot of misses, not a lot of hits, and even more when we go back into the house. But my favorite part of the break was I got Adam to explain the SLS camera. That's the one with the Kinect attached to it.
Yep, I got a video of that as well. I threw in our Facebook
Facebook
page. Yep, that's on our Facebook, so you can check that out. And then we all sat around in the living space, the living room, the what you call it, the seance room.
Yeah.
There's also a serving tray made out of Ouija board in the
room.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I want that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. Did you get a picture of that?
I got a picture of it for you. It looked modern, too. It was like from Home Goods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely from Home Goods. I think I heard Adam say, like, man, I really like that Ouija board.
But what's cool is this house is already classically beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then they like classed it up more with like modern decorations and like little Halloween decor.
Like the spider webs that you hang up and
little bat.
A bat, there's a rat and stuff. So then we all sit around the living space. Brian introduces himself to the ghost in this room as well.
So at this point, how long have we been doing it? Maybe an hour, hour and a half?
We were in the carriage house for about an hour.
So it's easier to be quiet because we were starting to get a little tired.
Around.
And you're in the dark the whole time.
I will also say, as I'm playing these recordings, you might hear some heavy breathing. That's not me. Yes. There was a member of our party who fell asleep for like the entire thing.
Yeah.
The lady who is a volunteer for the Granger house like turned to me and she's like, is he really asleep right now? I was like, yeah, he's been asleep for this whole thing. She's like, I cannot believe that.
I mean, I guess people sleep through movies for $20.
That's true.
And they did put a flashlight on him and he woke up for a second. It felt bad.
And then he fell back asleep. And then there was another thing that happened that he woke back up for because everyone was talking. But we'll get there. So this is when Brian said, hey, we can wrap up this whole thing now. Take all of the energy from the devices we have around the room. We have something in the music room. We have something in the foyer. We have something at the top of the stairs. Just drain all the battery power from that and use that energy to manifest yourself right now or make a huge, huge sound. We waited a little bit and nothing happened, unfortunately. Brian also narked on Alfred. He's like, did you know your boy's out in the, he's talking to Dora right now.
Yeah.
He's like, did you know your boy's out in the carriage house? Is that okay?
11 p.m.?
Yeah.
And I guess the last time he's going to talk to you.
Yeah. He also says that. He's like, well, if I go back out there, he's never going to talk to me again. And then he gives them one last invitation to present themselves. Not a lot happened here. We went to the squawk box or whatever he called it, the spirit box, almost right away. And we spent a long time with it, almost too long. We got even less hits on this round than we did in the carriage house.
Yeah,
they'd be like, I mean, we know you had a bunch of people here over the years. How many is the
so
most people you ever had?
Complete
here?
Silence.
Nothing.
Brian's beautiful voice.
No, this was his partner this time.
Oh yeah, she would ask a question, then there would be just silence and darkness with like 30 people.
It's a really amazing house.
Can you tell us what year it was built? I believe it was built in the 1800s. Can you give me the last two digits? 18 what?
It's a weird feeling when you're in a giant room with a lot of people and you're all dead silent.
Yeah.
Like when you have a moment of silence at a baseball game or something. Yeah. So imagine that, but in the dark and you're sleeping and loud.
Yeah.
Like that's gotta be something else.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the dead silence will be interrupted by...
Yeah.
With the spirit box.
Yeah. It's jarring.
Yeah, every time.
I thought I was going to fall asleep because it's way past when...
But it also kind of sounds like white noise. So the whole...
It's kind of soothing,
it was, right? You get used to it towards the end, I think. So I take back what I said about every time.
There was also a moment where the vice president, Vicky, got poked in the side.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I just got poked in the side.
I just got poked in the side.
Adam.
No, that was not Adam. It wasn't Adam?
No, it's on the other side of her.
Who just poked Vicky? What's your name? Who poked her? That was...
And there's this whole hubbub about her getting poked, and that was like the big thing. Ta-da!
Yeah.
That was the one big thing that happened. I should also say in these recordings, you might hear a lot of shuffling in the background. At some point, there's like no activity in the carriage house, so they sent people inside to play with more gear, different gear that we didn't get to see. So they were being really loud. And I was getting a little peeved at them. I was like, come on, man. I'm trying to pick up
EVPs
on my tape recorder here.
It felt like meditating.
It did.
It's like group meditation.
Yeah, which is...
Like, that's what would make me want to do it again.
Yeah. And then we kind of wrapped things up there. We weren't getting anything, so we kind of ended. Brian went to go check his gear out. He pulled the Melmeter off the top of the stairs, and he was going through looking at all the data, and he said he got electromagnetic reading went from a 0 to a 2.9, which, unfortunately, I don't know what that means, but it was significant to him.
And the low, of course, is 0. The high that recorded is 2.9.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is. So it was probably halfway up the stairs, so it almost suggests that somebody may have been coming down and checking us out. Although this had bat on and it never went off, so... Yeah. But they could have been...
But it's done before.
I got to get pretty close to it before it goes off, so...
Yeah.
But 2.9 is pretty good. Yeah.
And then he also found a temperature difference. At one point it went down like 7 degrees or something like that. And he's like, wow, that's really interesting.
Even 67 to 73 degree temperature.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's too.
Like 6-7 degrees. So that's kind of interesting.
The thing that he forgot is that halfway through, Adam turned on the furnace.
And said, hey, I'm turning on the furnace.
Because Vicky was really cold. If you think ghosts make you cold, she was very cold and the only one. So Adam went and turned on the furnace, which might give cause to a temperature change of 6 or 7 degrees over the course of an hour. That's just my thought. I have no evidence for it, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. Like, that's just my explanation for it. And we talked to Brian afterward. You thanked him and shook his hand, and
they apologized.
Yeah, they're like, "I'm so sorry, nothing happened." And we're like, "Hey, it's okay." And they're like, "Well, it kind of stinks that you come here, nothing happens, but you don't go home and listen to the audio." And usually on the audio, like right away, there's something. You hear something right away as you're dissecting the audio.
So Nick did the magic work, and he's got some news for us.
I'm so disappointed, and it's weird that I'm disappointed. That I went into this whole experience. I think that you and I are kind of on different levels in terms of believing in ghosts.
Well, we used to be in the same where we want to believe in things.
Yeah.
But now I don't.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
So that's where we differ is that like, you're like, okay, ghost hunting. Oh. But in my mind, I'm like, something could happen and I really want that to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect anything to happen while we were ghost hunting, but I was like, maybe I'll find some EVPs. And that would be so cool. Like, maybe I'll come out of this with something that I can't just explain away. Which I've done already.
Even if it was like a rogue radio station you picked up on that wasn't heard or something.
I mean, I heard some music on the recording, but I never heard any responses to anything. I went through all of the silences on like all of my tracks and amplified them as much as I could. I looked at them in two different like frequency viewers in Adobe Audition that like have the whole, like, I don't know what you want to call it. It's like a
EQ.
Sure. I don't know. You're the music guy. But it shows you, it like stretches the audio out and you can see like a four-dimensional view of your audio.
Nice.
I looked through that on two different views and I didn't see anything, man.
Can you explain four-dimensional to me, though?
It's a tesseract of audio.
Okay, cool. I saw Interstellar. So.
Yeah, it's like that, but with audio.
Okay.
Instead of bookshelves. Spoilers. So that was kind of our adventure. That was it with ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing happened. I went into it hoping something would make me be like, huh, but not even that happened. Everything, at least I was able to explain away, which that's my perspective. I would love to do this again, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of boring in the moment, like just standing there in the carriage house holding a microphone. But I know a lot more of it after the fact that I would love to do this again. So, hey, if you Granger House, if you want to invite to come to your
what's up
flashlight tours
for me I think my summary of the situation was I didn't realize how much like I don't know what the word is
love
no well, love
then,
what
well what I was gonna say is I was surprised at how much care and love went into this. Like, you see the ghost hunter shows and they're like, all right, we're gonna go in here, we're gonna find some ghosts, we got our infrared camera, blah, blah, blah. All right, ghosts, come out here, where you at, come on, come get me. And then Brian's over here like, hey guys, we've got some friends today, you might recognize me, you probably definitely recognize Adam, we just want to talk to you guys and see what your world is like.
Oh,
and it's just
hold on, I'll give them that much credit. I thought they were gonna be be kind, and I knew there would be a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a contrast between someone hamming it up on a TV show
well, yes,
and these
I understand
professionals.
That.
But I think the word I was looking for was the prep work in anticipating something mm-hmm. and setting things up. It was kind of like I would get 200 mousetraps and put them in a house and then just like wait for an earthquake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, and then just in case, maybe I'll like also put like mm-hmm. beepers in the room. And like there's so much setup where it was like, oh, maybe that could have been this, that every single option that they tried. Like if there's a slight vibration, a light could turn on, a ping pong ball could fall down, mm-hmm. A flashlight could turn on.
Yeah.
It's all set up that way. So that was an interesting thing. But then the other side of that is I'm sure there are ghost hunters that think, oh, that stuff's not legit. You need the real deal scientific machines. Yeah. You know?
So I kind of thought about like what else could, I thought we spent too much time on the spirit box. That was my opinion. And then I thought about it for a second time and I was like, but what else would they have done? Like
no.
We have all the equipment set up. We have the SLS camera. We've spent time leaving space open for EVPs. Like, what else could we have done? And I don't know.
It's not like we're going to hold hands and light a candle.
Yeah, and you can't just be like, hey, ghosts, all right, we're doing this thing. Come on
so
over
I think
here.
As far as, let's say that Brian and his partner, Carrie.
Yeah. All those lovable idiots are back at it again. Her name is Pat.
Let's say that they didn't believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. It would still have been the same rewarding experience.
Yeah.
They were so good at keeping things flowing and being presenters.
Yeah. And
they would get group participation. I got to ask help questions.
Yeah, they'd ask us they'd open it up for other people to ask questions.
Or I'd bring up that's where I got my on my Ovilus. It said like release and then like
there's a
downstairs.
A few things,
it said something referring to a basement and release.
Yeah.
So I'd bring that up and they'd say, is there something in the basement? Can we open the basement door?
Yeah.
You know, like, so they would kind of take hints from that machine or wherever they could get. Like, there's one point it said a girl's name. So I started asking who Alice was.
Yeah. It's like equal parts, like a spiritual experience and equal parts an improv exercise.
Yeah.
Where you're trying your best to get any sort of communication.
So everything's
anywhere.
Yes and. Yeah.
Yeah. So you take everything and you run with it. I think these guys did a really good job of it. And I really like, this isn't my cup of tea. Like I wouldn't be like, all right, this weekend we're grabbing the kids and we're going ghost hunting.
Yeah.
it seems like it'd be an expensive hobby, but it's something if you have like $20 and a free weekend, I would definitely recommend this.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I walked away feeling the exact same way as when I walked in and I loved it.
Yeah, but you still learned a lot.
Yeah, I learned a lot about the equipment and people and
so
it's awesome.
All in all, I still don't believe ghosts are real. That's my opinion. I feel like I lean more toward the possibility of them existing than you do.
Yeah.
But I have a little game that we can play, John.
All right.
If you want to take a quick break and you at home, go grab some candy and join us back.
Oh yeah,
here.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
Wow.
So go grab some candy, and we'll meet you right back here. We'll be getting our tour at the carriage house.
If I'm not mistaken, you guys
want to
head in?
I'll stay out here. John, I want to do some quick plugs real fast.
Okay.
And then we can play this little game here.
What you got?
You can find us at facebook.com/group/strangerstill.
Just search Stranger Still on Facebook.
Yeah. And if you like this kind of episode, it's different than what we normally do. I still talked a lot and I kind of just interrupted you a bunch. But if you like it, it's supported by you guys through Patreon.
Yep.
So if you want more of this stuff, go to patreon.com/flyingmachine, which is our network's Patreon page, and just kick a few bucks our way. It's Halloween. Give us our treat.
And we just revamped everything where if you just give $1 a month,
you get a crap load of stuff.
You get a ton of episodes. You're going to get all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. I don't even know what we're allowed to say.
We'll talk about it later. Right. Just keep an eye on that Patreon page and you'll...
Or just give us a buck.
Yeah.
And you'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out. And then there's also voting is coming up. I want to talk about that real fast.
Okay.
Voting is what, next week?
Yeah.
So make sure you go out and vote. I don't care what your opinions are. Just go out and vote. Make your voice heard. If you are unsatisfied with anything politically, at least put your vote in so then you can say, well, at least I didn't vote for that person that made that decision.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about some recent politics, I would recommend there's a couple shows on our channel.
Yep.
Such as Oops, I Talked Politics.
That's correct.
Or the Pot Stirrer Podcast.
That's also very correct.
I just listened to Jay's episode on evangelicals and the state of them politically.
Yeah.
Her episode episodes are always immaculately produced, but this one, I always hear about the dumb stuff Trump says and the people still supporting him, but I never thought about why they still support him. Like, why didn't evangelicals still support Trump after Stormy Daniels and all of his other infidelity stuff and saying that you can grab women inappropriately? Why do they still stand behind him? And I think that Jay provides some things I never thought about in regards to that. So I think you should go listen to that.
That's like the whole point of podcasting. She did it. She made it.
She did. She always does an immaculate job.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
John, I got some ghost hunting gear for you that I want you to see if you can guess the prices.
I wish you did. You just have the names of gear. But I wish you had an ovulus because I could really use a beer.
Well, hey, you could use a beer.
In my palace.
Surprise! I have one for you right here. So let's start with the ovulus. So this comes from digitaldowsing.com. They have some pretty high-tech stuff. This is the higher-end stuff.
Yeah. So does that mean they could find me like a nice like cup of ice cold water as well?
They do have dowsing, like analog dowsing rods.
That's amazing.
They're on sale. Do you want to guess how much they're on sale for?
Ugh, man. I heard some prices thrown around while I was there. I'm going to say $100.
For dowsing rods?
For analog?
You are cold. Arctic.
Okay. What kind of dowsing rod is this? I'm looking
for metal.
Water, right?
They're metal. Yeah, they're metal, and they have little, like...
Oh, it's not digital. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I meant, like, analog as in old school.
Oh, man. Okay, $30.
Warmer? I'll give you one more guess.
$26.72.
$17.50.
Okay.
They're on sale. They're normally $19.95.
Okay. Pretty good.
So, ovulus. That's the one that you had the whole time.
Yep, which I kept calling the Oculus because of VR.
Yeah. What would you guess the ovulus 5B cost? This looks like the exact model that you had. What would you pay
5B?
For that?
5B? You said thousands before, and I know how much equipment they had. I wonder if it's $200, this thing? It's like a GPS.
Warm.
All right, 150.
Colder. And you have one more guess. I'm going to give you three guesses on all of these.
Oh, boy. 173.44.
Nope. There's a price range on here, which I don't understand. It starts at 345 and it's at 365. What? Yeah. The maximum is $365 you can pay for this thing.
Surprise.
I'm gonna save their SLS for the very end. That's the most expensive gear that I found.
Okay.
Now, the Melmeter, which is the thing with the antenna that he had, picked up on proximity electromagnetic frequencies and temperature changes.
It looked like what any bad guy in any old cartoon would use
to like radio.
There'd
to
be
someone?
Like a switch with a if there's any button with a antenna coming off of it, it looks like all of them.
Yeah, this I found the
it
model.
Was like Acme brand pretty much.
May as well, maybe that's printed on the side. This comes from ghosthuntersequipment.com. This looks like the model that they had because it has the antenna for proximity. How much do you guess? This one's on sale too.
Oh wow.
What do
you want to guess? $300, Nick.
You are so warm.
Really?
It almost hurts.
Is that the sale price or is that the...
I'm not gonna say.
Okay.
Go for the sale price. If you get either of them, I'll let you know.
$287.44.
You are so painfully close. One more guess.
$289.99.
Wrong direction. It's on sale for $275.
Wow.
It's normally $329. That's actually like $60 off.
And it makes a cool noise when
woo!
I touch it. Cool.
I don't know if I have that on tape, but we'll try. Well, I'll look for it.
You find a sample online.
Yeah. We've got K2 meters also from ghosthuntersequipment.com. Just what do you want to guess for a K2?
So the K2 is the Kinect item?
No, this is the EMF meter. It just lights up if there's EMF.
That's the
meter.
One with all the tubes on top?
That was the static. I can't find the static.
Oh, I don't even remember
it. It looks like a K2. Or the stack thing kind of looks like the K2. It's like a remote with five different colors on it.
Yeah, that's the one that I remember. I don't remember the K2.
Okay. Well, no, I'm describing the K2. Like, the static thing had, like, pieces of glass coming off the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is like that, but on, like, a TV remote. That's a K2. Basically.
Man, I don't remember that one.
I didn't see it. I only heard them reference it. What would you guess that costs? To pick up on EMFs, what would you pay?
It picks up on EMFs? So it's an audio recorder?
No, it's electromagnetic frequencies it's picking up on. So if there's electromagnetic waves coming at it, it'll pick up on that.
Can it be used commercially?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Like, are there other... can you buy it off a not ghost hunting site?
I don't think so.
Okay, no. $400.
That's Arctic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
500?
You are, like... leaving the atmosphere so cold.
You know, I don't even know if I want a third guess at this point without a clue.
How much would you pay for a video game?
$60.
That's how much this costs. $59.90. It's not on sale, but it does come with a free Ghost Augustine flashlight screwdriver kit. Augustine. I don't know.
Augustus.
I'm saying it like an idiot. So at me, whatever you want. He also had a laser grid scope, which was a laser.
Where is someone gonna at you?
Twitter.
Okay. When's the last time you tweeted?
A long time ago. So there is a limited time sales that ends in 7 hours and 12 minutes and 21 seconds. That for a laser grid scope that he also had, he didn't really do anything with it
because it was so faint. I think the batteries were low.
It sends out a bunch of lights, and then you just, if something walks in front of it, a ghost walks in front of it, the lights will get shifted. How much do you think that costs on this limited time sale, this flash sale?
Wow. So how many lasers?
Boy, I don't think it says.
Like thousands?
That's what he said. Okay. It looks like a lot. I don't know.
One laser pointer is like, what, $5?
Right.
And this is thousands?
Yeah.
$10.
Close.
Okay, we'll 15.
Warmer.
$25.99.
Well, on regular price, it's $28. On sale, $18.95.
Yeah, perfectly in the middle. Yeah. Between 18 and 20, whatever you said. I nailed it.
All right, the last one is the XCAM SLS Structured Light Sensor. This is the Kinect attached.
This is the one that I danced on our Facebook page. I got scanned for spooks.
Yeah. What would you pay for a brand new XCAM SLS Structured Light Sensor from digitaldowsing.com?
I remember that
it's not on sale.
Okay, so it's not on sale. I know that the guy that talked to us said he got one on eBay for $400.
He saw them on eBay
for
$400. He didn't buy one. He was considering buying it.
Which would have been a sweet deal. Or he said $299. So I'm going to stick with my $400 answer.
Well, also keep in mind, Adam said that these are made to order. So when you order it, it'll arrive like 2 months later, made just for you.
Wow.
What would you pay for that? $400.
Now, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
It's on a tablet.
Comes with a Dell tablet.
How many games come with it?
I mean, you could probably play like Bloons on it. That's about it.
I could play Plants vs. Zombies Heroes on it. And I could get on Facebook and also detect ghosts. So that's a decent deal if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's got internet access. So I'm going to say $450.
You are still very, very cold.
I just don't know which direction to go.
Okay. Let me read you the product direction.
Okay.
Or product description. It's way more than you're saying.
Oh, God.
The package includes the XCAM head unit, tablet, software, handle grip, and now standard with a hard shell, water resistant XCAM SLS carrying case. See season 10, episode 1, Queen Mary of what show? Oh, Ghost Adventures for the XCAM SLS in action, as well as the St. James Hotel episode.
$1,000.
Warmer.
Warmer? Is there an ER?
Yeah.
$1,200?
You're so close.
Oh, man. I'm going to sell a car. Buy this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $1,500.
No, you're closer with the...
Well, now I went over and it's not as dramatic when you tell me the real answer. I ruined it.
$1,275.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Wow.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I guess if you're going to
go big,
start
or go
a YouTube
home,
channel,
right?
or a TV show, that makes sense too. Yeah. Or if you got the money to do so. Dang.
Yeah, dude. I got some more information on this thing, that the XCAM SLS is based around an advanced SLS as well as additional sensor input. So it doesn't just have the Kinect. They said that the Kinect version was seen on Ghost Adventures and often requested. It's Wi-Fi enabled. It's simple to share your evidence. Playback shows the video screen and all recordings as they occur. So this thing is
a really well put, polished, smart device.
Yeah.
Like, all things said, I don't believe it works at all. I don't think it does anything, but it's really nice.
Yeah. The other thing is, I don't know if that comes with free shipping, but it does ship to Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Puerto Rico, as well as the United States.
Look at that.
So. Do you have anything else for this episode, John? Nothing?
I mean, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Oh, sorry. Orders currently require 25 business days to build, configure, and test. So that's for the SLS. So you better order now in case you want it for next Halloween.
Or save yourself $1,199 and go to patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Yeah, and kick us some money. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us on this ghost hunting adventure recap.
Yep.
Join us next week when I will spin my head around and puke vomit all over the walls.
It's going to be November, Nick. Why are you going to do that?
I'm going to be in my bed when a priest comes in and I'm going to do it.
Okay. It's not Halloween anymore.
It was an exorcist joke. Come on. Let me have this moment, John. I have.
It's going to be... Okay.
It's all I have, man.
You can have it. It's fine. No, it's fine. I love the movie. Big Linda Blair fan. I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.